It's been a while since I've been up here, but I've done this a few times. So just continue praying for me that the message will, touch you as it's touched me. I'd like to pray again as we open. Dear Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for just all your blessings, Lord, that you've given to us this Sabbath day, Lord, to be able to worship you in your house, Lord. And I pray that your spirit will be with us, Lord, as we open your word and as we learn more about you, Lord, and as we learn how to become overcomers or be overcomers, Father. And I just ask that you'll guide us this Sabbath day, that we will do all to your name, honor, and glory. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so the theme this month has been families, and my topic today is I want to focus on our heavenly family. As we wait for the long-awaited coming of our Lord and Savior, there are times we can get distracted from what our true purpose is in this life. We get sidetracked as we travel along our Christian life's narrow pathway on our way to our heavenly family, focusing on working our 9-to-5 jobs, making our money, accumulating land and wealth, having children, going on extravagant vacations, marrying and giving in marriage. We tend to forget why we're even here and get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, caught up in the most lucrative investments, caught up in the magnificence of our homes, caught up in the latest edition car we're driving, caught up in our position and status at work, caught up in the latest diet or fashion statement, caught up in our relationships, caught up in our friendships, or sadly, maybe even caught up in who has the higher positions in our church, or who we perceive as receiving more praise or attention in our church than we are. Now, most of those areas that I mentioned are not wrong in themselves, for we all need to support our families and give them the best that we can offer them. But we must remember that God must be the driving force in each area of our lives. God should be the one that we turn to when we make these life-changing decisions. He must be the first and foremost one that guides us when we make these decisions, for it is for his glory and not our own, for it is to help others and not just to better ourselves. It is for us to be witnesses and examples to others and not just for our or our family's benefit. We realize that as we walk life's narrow pathway as Christians to our heavenly family, God has a process for us to go through to heal and cleanse us from all our sinful habits and practices, our evil desires and tendencies that seem to plague us, often in our Christian walk. As we go through this process, though, at times we get distracted and look at the other side, the other pathway called the Broadway, where people on this pathway are caught up in the glamour, the wealth, the eat and drink and be merry attitudes, the fame and power that they may accumulate, and think that this is really what life is about, and forget what God purposes for their lives or our lives here on this earth. We begin to lack faith in what God tells us in his word about what brings true happiness and peace. We even may begin to lack faith in the existence of God and begin to feel that there's no purpose in having a relationship with God and going to church. We may believe all we need is what is here on earth and what Satan has to offer us, instead of believing that God desires to heal and cleanse us and make us into his image and desire us to be a light for others, and that he can offer us so much more than what Satan has to offer us. We don't realize that what Satan offers us may be good for us in the here and now, but in the end, those in this pathway, in his pathway, the broad way, are going down a road to destruction, whereas God's way, the narrow way, leads to everlasting life and to dwell with our heavenly family forevermore. So how can we prevent ourselves from being a part of this group that gives up on their relationship with God, that ends up leaving the narrow way for the broad way, that can get so distracted and lose focus on the narrow way to the point where they give up on the battle against sin, and in turn allow sin to eventually lead them to destruction? Today, I would like to discuss three important character traits that we need to have in order to Today, I would like to discuss three important character traits that we need to have or develop that will greatly assist us in maintaining our relationship with God and understanding the true purpose of why we're here on this earth. These important and vital traits of character will help us to continue on in the narrow pathway of our Christian lives and not get distracted by what's going on in the broad way and the evil influences that are on or that are in this pathway. As we go through these traits, I would like us to compare or differentiate what God has to offer us in the narrow way and then what Satan has to offer us in the broad way, in the here and now, and what the future holds in both pathways. The first character trait that I would like to focus on is humility. Now, humility, if you research it, it means being teachable. The number one reason that we sit here in church today is because we are humble or teachable enough to realize that we really don't know everything, that we really don't know what gives us true happiness, we really don't know what gives us true peace, at least when we began our Christian walk, we really don't know what gives true joy. And so we found ourselves when we were looking and searching for that ever elusive true happiness, peace, and joy that so many on this earth are searching for, but looking for in the wrong places and in the wrong activities. The Bible explains more about this ever-important character trait that we need to have to stay on this straight and narrow pathway. Micah 6, 6 through 8 talks about humility. Micah 6, 6 through 8. And it reads, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath shown me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." You see, this scripture reminds us of how we might have come when we were first searching for truth. When we were first coming to Christ, we may have asked these same questions as it states in Micah here. And the answer comes back to all of us that God doesn't necessarily require our money, our investments, our property when we first come to him. The number one requirement that he requires us is for us to do justly and love mercy, and most of all, walk humbly with our God. For if we are not humble or teachable, it can be very difficult for God to teach and show us not just our faults or errors we need to work on, but the necessary skills that we need to have in order to overcome in this life and remain on this narrow pathway to join our heavenly family. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 also talks about humility and the importance of it. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. It reads, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we see here that God wants us to humble ourselves under his mighty hand, to become teachable or remain teachable. But when we do that, in what the scripture says? Due time, he will exalt us. You see, in Satan's broad way, there is no conditions for what he has to offer. It is all about being exalted in the here and now, with all the fame and fortune of this world. But in the end, that way leads to destruction. In contrast, in God's narrow way, we must humble ourselves and not boast that we know it all and have everything. We become teachable and have a learning attitude. But in the end, we shall be exalted. Do you see the difference? What a good God we serve. James 4 also talks about this trait. James 4, 6, 7, and 10. James 4, 6, 7, and 10. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So here we see again that first we must humble ourselves in the sight of God, and then in the end he will lift us up. It is interesting also to see that in submitting ourselves to God each day, we can resist the devil, and eventually he will flee from us. Colossians 3, 12 and 17. Colossians 3, 12 and 17. As we continue to talk about humility. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So here we see again, as the elect of God, as God's chosen people, as we walk this narrow pathway to our heavenly family, we must put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and as God develops these traits in our lives, we realize that it is only him that gives us the strength to develop these traits in our lives. And we give him the glory. We give him thanks every day, every moment, for all he is doing for us in molding and fashioning us in his image and helping us to continue on in this narrow pathway. Never do we come to the point where we're giving glory to ourselves. We're always, even in acquiring humility, giving glory to God, because being humble isn't easy. Being teachable isn't an easy quality. The next important and vital trait that we need to have or develop in our characters as we walk this narrow pathway to our heavenly family is having a pure heart, or having desires that are pure and holy. In Psalms 119, 10 and 11, Psalms 119, 10 and 11, it reads, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, in order for us to have a pure heart, in order for us to have pure and holy desires, first, we must seek God with our whole heart. And we must hide the word of God in our hearts, that we may not sin against him, that we may not even have the desire to go against what he asks us to do, that we may not wander from his commandments and fall out of the narrow pathway that leads to everlasting life, and thus being with our heavenly family forevermore, that we may not get caught up with those in the broad way and go down the path that leads to destruction. Psalms 37, verse 4, also talks about our desires and how important our desires need to be aligned with God, what God desires for us, or his desires. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, what is this saying? First, we must delight in the Lord, delighting in his word and what he tells us to do, delighting in who he is, his love and kindness and compassion towards his children, delighting in following what God requires us to do. And then and only then can he truly give us the desires of our heart. Then and only then will our desires be pure and holy, and God can grant us the request that we are asking him for, because we desire what he desires, and we delight in what he delights in. So first we delight ourselves, then he gives us the desires, because our desires are now pure. Psalms 40, verse 8, also talks about desires, our desires to being what God wants them to be. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So here we see when we delight to do God's will, his law is within our heart. You see, we can't want to come to church if God's law isn't written in our hearts. We can't be convicted on the Sabbath if God's law isn't written in our hearts. We can't love our neighbors as ourselves if God's law is not written in our hearts. We can't be kind to others and not gossip about them if his law isn't written in our hearts. We can't be a witness to others if God's law isn't written in our hearts. And if we're having problems with any of these issues in our lives, then maybe we need to reexamine our lives and hearts to see if God's law is truly written there, or if there needs to be a complete makeover. And believe you me, God is the only one that can accomplish that if we let him. Amen? Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It reads, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So here we see, if we are risen with Christ, if we've been baptized in the faith, if we have come to Christ and given our lives to Christ, then we must and should seek those things which are above, not on things on earth. And what we have to ask ourselves is, if we're being caught up in the things of this world to the point where we're not motivated to come to church, to the point where we're not keeping the Sabbath, to the point where we are worried and concerned about our homes or our jobs, and they mean more than keeping the word of God, to the point where we can dislike a person at work or in the church and gossip and talk about them instead of loving them as we should, then maybe we need to ask ourselves, have we really come to Christ? Is God's law truly written in our hearts? Do the things of this earth mean more to us than the things above that God has for us? Only we can truly answer that question. And I pray that if our affections are not where they should be, that we will come to God right away and listen to his voice and complete the transformation in our lives that he wants for us. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. As we continue talking about this important character trait, the desires of our hearts and where they should be. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So here we see that the men and women of faith in the scripture is referring to people like Noah and Abraham, or is referring to Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Enoch, and Abel, and how they all confess that their home was not here, was not permanent, that they were strangers and pilgrims here on this earth, and that they all desired a better country, that is a heavenly one, one where God is not ashamed to be called their God. You see, we must have that same attitude and spirit as these men and women of God did. That even though our homes may be nice, there is a better country, a heavenly one, where there will be mansions untold for us, where there will be streets of gold to walk on, where we shall live eternally forever. It is not smart for us to place all of our livelihoods in this world, for this world will come to an end. What God requires of us is to place all of our livelihoods in doing his will, in being his witnesses, in knowing that we are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth, that our time here is short, and we need to assist the Lord in finishing his work in righteousness. So the last important trait that we need to have in order to be a part of God's heavenly family, in order to continue on in this narrow pathway, instead of being influenced and joining those in the broad pathway, is a spirit of sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. It reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here we see one of the most important sacrifices that we will ever make to God is our body, is our bodies. You see, because God is so good to us each day in providing our necessities, because God is so good to us in providing our friendships and relationships, because God is so good to us in helping keep us safe in our going out and coming in, we can now in turn present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice. How do we do that, you say? Watching what we eat and wear is one way. Watching what we choose to think about. Watching what we watch on TV. Watching our words and our deeds as God calls us to be his witnesses. And as we allow God to transform our lives into what he wants us to be, we can say as those men and women of God in Hebrews 11, that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and that we desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, where God is not ashamed to be called our God. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Really important scripture in regards to sacrifice. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, what does that mean, you might say? Most of us think that living the Christian life is a burden. But you see, what God is saying is that when you're on the broad pathway, or when you are on the broad pathway before you came to Christ, the burdens you carried, maybe it was having fame and fortune, maybe it was trying to hold a steady job, maybe it was trying to maintain a relationship with someone, maybe it was trying to accumulate more wealth. Whatever your burdens were when you didn't know Christ, those burdens became very heavy to bear. And many people today are crushed by the weight of those burdens. But I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you today, that when you're in the narrow pathway, and you may bear some of those same burdens, when you have Christ, he can make them easy to bear. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The sacrifices we make as Christians appear nothing in comparison with the blessings that he gives us and will give us when we are with him. when we have a right relationship with Him. We are not crushed by life's burdens. We don't have to commit suicide as we see more and more in this world today. People who have all this fame and money, yet still they become crushed by life's burdens because they choose to bear these burdens without Christ. Amen? God says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we can truly find rest if we are setting our affections on things above rather than things on the earth. We are truly finding rest when we truly commit our lives to Him and not get caught up in what others are doing in the broad way and all the things that Satan will try and tempt us with on this pathway. Matthew 19:28-29. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Here we see that when what God is saying here requires a great sacrifice on our part. For to forsake our father or mother or spouse or children for the kingdom of God is definitely not easy. It's not an easy task, but as we read in the other scripture in Matthew, to bear these great burdens with Christ at our side, that yoke or burden can become easy or easier and light. God is offering us 100-fold more blessings than what we think is important in our lives. And as God in the scripture it says, He wants us to inherit everlasting life. I want to say this really solemnly and carefully, if you don't get anything in this sermon. Any trials or temptations that we go through here will appear as nothing when we shall experience all the blessings that God has in store for us in heaven and the new earth. As we walk this narrow pathway with Christ, we must assure ourselves that this walk of humility, this walk of changing our desires to His desires where we have a pure heart, that this walk of sacrifice will be worth it all in the end, and we will be glad that we made the sacrifice here on earth because God will truly show us His ultimate blessings for us when we get to the other side, and we shall inherit eternal life. Let me tell you, nothing on this earth is worth losing our souls. Nothing on this earth is worth eternal life. And when we overcome this world, we can say, as these men and women in Hebrews 11, we are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth, that we desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, where God is not ashamed to be called our God. So, in closing, let's look more of the blessings that God has in store for us when he makes this earth anew. John 14:1-3. Many of us know the scripture, but it's still very encouraging. It says, John 14:1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't that beautiful? Amen. You see, the world may try and lavish on all the material possessions that they have here, all the wealth and all of their lands. But I'm here to tell you that God has 100 times more blessings for us in the earth made new than we will ever see here. He says that God has many mansions for us. Can you imagine? Nothing that we will go through in this life, no suffering, no hurt, no pain, will compare to the glory that we will experience in the end if we are faithful. Nothing. It truly makes sense to have faith in God and remain on the narrow pathway as we travel to our heavenly home to be with our heavenly family forever. Do you believe that? Yeah, I hope that we continue each day to develop that faith in our lives to work, you know, to work towards that with God's help. Revelation 21, 1 to 7. Revelation 21, 1 to 7. And it talks about our lives on the other side. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Amen? Amen. Lastly, in Revelation 22, 3 through 5, Revelation 22, 3 through 5. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Is the Lamb worthy of this service, everyone? Amen. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen? So, we have two pathways to choose from in this life. One is the broad pathway that gives us everything we think we want now, allowing us to have the attitude of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In this broad pathway, we think that wealth, power, and fame is what gives us the peace, joy, and happiness that we're looking for. And we strive our utmost best, no matter who we hurt or cause to suffer, to attain these things. But in the end, these things lead us to eternal damnation. Let me read that again. We have two pathways. One is the broad pathway that gives us everything that we think we want now, allowing us to have the attitude of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In this broad pathway, we think that wealth, power, and fame is what gives us the peace, joy, and happiness that we're looking for. And we strive our utmost best, no matter who we hurt or cause to suffer, to attain these things. But in the end, these things lead us to eternal damnation. Then we have the other pathway that we can choose, the narrow pathway. Yes, this pathway requires humility, a transformation of our desires to become like God's in having a pure heart. And it requires a spirit of sacrifice, even if it possibly means to walk this pathway alone, without some of our earthly family members and friends that we love so dear. But as we take on the yoke of Christ and his burdens, those trials and experiences become easy or easier to bear because God gives us the strength to bear them if we submit to him and are always praying or always having a praying spirit. And as we walk in this narrow pathway, each day, we no longer have to be attracted to the broad way and all its evil influences. But we can now attract others to now come join us in this narrow pathway of holiness. For this pathway is what brings true joy, true peace, and true happiness that everyone, or most everyone on this earth, is searching for. I'll read the second pathway again. The narrow pathway. Yes, it requires humility, a transformation of our desires to become like God's and having a pure heart. And it requires a spirit of sacrifice. Even if it possibly means to walk this pathway alone without some of our earthly family members and friends that we love so dear. But as we take on the yoke of Christ and his burdens, those trials and experiences become easy or easier to bear because God gives us the strength to bear them if we submit to him and are always in a praying spirit. And as we walk this narrow pathway each day, we no longer have to be attracted to the broad way and all its evil influences, but we can now attract others to now come join us in this narrow pathway of holiness. For this pathway is what brings true joy, true peace, and true happiness that everyone on this earth is searching for. And we can say, as these men and women of God in Hebrews 11 said, as Noah and Sarah and Enoch and Abel and Abraham all said through their experience here on earth, that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, that now they desire a better country that is a heavenly one, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. May God continue to help us as we continue to travel this narrow pathway that leads to everlasting life.